Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Ear to the Ground Sports Podcast. This is the E2G Sports Network, and we are the Unsung Grid. It is NFL Divisional Round Weekend, Part 1, which is today, Saturday, January 16th, 2021. Two big games later this afternoon and into the evening. So it's a gloomy day here in New England, southern New England, where I am and where Buddy is, but we're getting through it. And there's football, so if you're a sports fan, if you're a football fan, it's down to the final eight, man, and it doesn't get any better than this. So without further ado, on the E2G Sports Network, let's bring in our creator. That is one and only Buddy Andre. Buddy, happy Saturday to you, man. Looking forward to the slate, albeit a couple games, but lots of storylines.
Yeah, happy Saturday. Happy divisional round weekend to you. Ready to go. Ready to break these down and get to 4:30 and sit down and just take it all in.
That's it, man. You're right. Get on the couch. Get your cooler. Whatever you have, get set. Get it. Keep beat at arm's length. You want to hop around during commercials, you can do it. But if you want to join Buddy and I and talk some football, because I'd like to hear from Patriot fans and see if they're interested. And as a sports fan, and I'm a, you know, if my team's out of it, I usually find another rooting interest, be it for a team or against a team. Like, for instance, I'm a diehard Sox fan. If they're not in it, I root against the Yankees, basically. So if you're a Patriot fan out there, you have a rooting interest, give us a jingle at 516-387-1702. 516-387-1702, because you have the Bills in it, which is in the division rivalry. But if you want to join us and let us know if there's a rooting interest, or if you're just kind of watching it and, you know, no dog in the fight, but you're enjoying it anyway, let us know. Once again, Buddy, 71702. Buddy, look, before we get into the matchups, I want to throw a couple of coaching vacancies have been hired. And, you know, where there's smoke, there was fire with Urban Meyer. He is officially in Jacksonville. Instant credibility, in your opinion, and I can only think of one thing, and I talked to my buddy Joe Foran on Wednesday on our Hump Day podcast on the Unsung Sports Grid, that what that did for Jacksonville is establish them with instant credibility, much like the Bill Parcells signing when he inked, and whenever that press conference, when he took over the New England Patriots, it took a franchise on the downward slope, gave him instant credibility, and that's what Meyer does in Jacksonville. But that's a great storyline. I'm really fascinated by what can happen with that team and how well he's going to fare, because he's won everywhere he's gone. Your opinion on him in Jacksonville?
Yeah, this should be fun. A named coach. One of the most important things he talked about was his health and how he's not going to be running around as much as he used to, getting himself worked up. Mm-hmm. He's going to more oversee, kind of take that CEO role of the roster. So we'll see how that goes. Let's see where they go with that first pick, and I'm curious where they go with their second first round pick. What type of team they're trying to develop. I want to see who the coaches are. I think their personnel is better fit for a 3-4 than 4-3 defense. So mm-hmm. hopefully he comes in, he sees that, and he brings in somebody who's a good 3-4 defense caller, and they can get these guys Allen and Chase on the edge. And, you know, they've got a big nose tackle and they've got some pieces on that side of the ball, and there's still pieces on the offensive side of the ball too. They were competitive a lot this year in games.
They were.
And you know what, you know, I'm a Doug Marrone guy. So I want to see where Doug Marrone ends up. I just think he imposes a toughness on a football team. Just whether he wins or loses, it's a tough team and it's a tough out. So we'll see what happens from there. But no, I'm curious how this goes. Comes into the AFC South, first pick in the draft. Let's see who the GM is. Let's see how the coaching staff pans out, and get ready to go down there in Jacksonville.
I'm interested to see. It's just fascinating from that standpoint. Big name, what's he going to do? Was it the challenge? Was it the money? Maybe a little bit of both, but you know, it's a great situation. You know, you have a top draft pick. I mean, you want to go there if he wants that challenge at the next level, which he's going to get in Jacksonville this year. So I'm real interested to see what happens there. The Jets, Robert Saleh, is it Saleh or Saleh?
Been hired. Robert Saleh.
Robert Saleh, who's been on the – we knew he was going to get a job. He was highly sought after last year. One standard that's set for the San Francisco 49ers here, they still had that pretty solid defense. So he comes in, looks like he's a blue-collar type of guy, fits in the well. Players like him, I mean, at least in San Francisco. I like his demeanor on the sidelines, but it's a big step. But it's an organization that may need this, a little structure. And he's already talked about keeping Darnold as his quarterback, which I'm interested in. How do you stand with that? Is it a change of scenery? Or let's face it, Darnold is a piece, and he's young, and he seems to be pretty good. I think it's change of scenery or a change of coach, and we talked about that ad nauseum here on the E2G Sports Network, would have done him well. I trust in Saleh to keep Darnold. I mean, you can build around him with the second pick in the draft. Or is that more smoke and mirrors and posturing, the fact that he's openly basically saying he likes what he sees in Darnold? Your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on that is I believe Darnold will be the quarterback come week one, 2021, for the New York Jets. And the reason being, one of the biggest teams we heard rumored Sam Darnold to was to the 49ers. Well, now you bring in Saleh, and now you're bringing Matt LaFleur's younger brother, Mike LaFleur, who was the passing game coordinator in San Francisco, over to be the offensive coordinator. So they already have a philosophy in place where they were going to take Sam Darnold and groom him. Now they don't have to make the transaction. Bring him in, get him a stud receiver, and let's start building things up on defense. I want to see how they're going to go defensive side of the ball, if they're going to be a 4-3 or a 3-4. They got some pieces. Quinnen Williams is a really good piece in the middle. Let's see what they can do with him and just build from there. And we may see a jettison of guys from San Francisco who are free agents come over and play for the Jets. So that's always the way. If you remember when Parcells first got here in 93, you know, there were guys who came over who had been in that system and played there. So I kind of feel it's going to be the same way.
Familiarity does breed a lot of success. And that's good. If his piece is there, you plug in, you know what you have as a coach and with a player, and players know what they have as a coach. And if the player respected them, they'll go to the Jets because he's there and they'll play for him. So that's a real good point you just made. Let me put it this way. If they had the number one pick and maybe Trevor Lawrence was there at the number one pick, would it be a different story, do you think, with Darnold?
It may be. Yeah, you kind of can't pass up the future franchise.
Right.
Just because you have, you know, Sam Darnold in hand. I think it's more of the reason that they are picking two, that they'll stick with him, a guy they've already probably been looking at behind the scenes, and they'll watch every snap and see how he fits into what they do as the pass game coordinator and now offensive coordinator.
He's Buddy Andre. Johnny Sunship's here as well. Ear to the Ground Sports Podcast. We are the E2G Sports Network. Unsung Sports Grid. Divisional Round Weekend Saturday Edition here, January 16, 2021. Please do at 516-387-1702. Once again, 516-387-1702. Another coach, Arthur Smith, you're a Titan guy. Is that a good fit? He seemed to be the guy Atlanta wanted, and they got the guy that they wanted, according to some pundits down there. He's agreed to terms to become the Atlanta Falcons new head coach. Your feelings on him coming from that system in Tennessee?
Yeah, very interesting. They ran the ball a lot. And the 2 years he's been there since LaFleur went up to Green Bay, ran the ball a lot. And kind of a, can I call it a power passing game with A.J. Brown? Where you get a big physical guy. Mm-hmm. So you're running a lot of slants, a lot of digs, a lot of posts. Tough routes, you know, with his contact. And there's another guy I'm curious, you know, if there's any free agents who want to follow him over. He did a good job, got them to the AFC Championship game last year. They rode Derrick Henry. And if he can find a hot hand like that in the draft to be his running back, it'll work out well. But no, good offensive mind. They go from a defensive-minded head coach to an offensive-minded head coach. From Dan Quinn over to Smith. You got Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Ridley, Hurst. got some interesting pieces. Now let's see how he develops the pass game and, you know, has different kind of weapons. But Julio Jones is totally capable of playing that power receiving game with his size and physicality. So this should be an interesting hire. I want to see what they do on the defensive side of the ball, who he brings in as coordinators. This is a big part of it. I'd like to see how the whole staff fills out and what the philosophy is going to be before I go judging.
Great. He's Buddy Andre, John Sunships here in the Unsung Sports Group, 516-387-1702. Once again, 516-387-1702. Talk some football on our Ear to the Ground Sports Podcast, Divisional Round Weekend, Saturday edition. Two more things before we move on to the games. I'm scratching my head in Detroit. They bring in the new GM. They're getting things done quickly. Brad Holmes, Rams executive, named the GM in Detroit. Apparently, he's targeting former Lions and his assistant head coach, tight ends coach Dan Campbell, who's with the Saints, so nothing's official yet. But that's the guy he apparently wants. Your thoughts on that? Now, we know what he is as a assistant. I think Campbell's played in Detroit. They want to bring that connection back. I'm not sure that's a good thing to do, but I kind of wanted to see a bigger name, and I think even if it was from the college ranks to get a guy into Detroit, is this just the same old Detroit Lions, just at least on paper, seemingly doing the wrong thing? If this doesn't go well?
Yeah, I don't see this going well. This is just a bad move. Not the guy you want to bring in. Not the coach you want to bring in. We saw him in Miami. He's a I told you this in the pregame show. If you want to know his personality, watch Finding Nemo. He's crushed a turtle. He's crushed a turtle. Dude, all right. Where's Coach? We're watching film. Oh, Coach is in the weight room lifting weights. Oh, okay. That's interesting. He is once the coach who said he would bleed for his players. And I don't know if he cut himself or what, but yeah, this guy, man, there's a lot of coaches out there, and this is what you come up with. Very, very underwhelming.
Yeah, at least to say, and especially when you come out as GM Holmes and say he's the guy we want. Now, whether that's smoke and mirrors, who knows? But, you know, the flip side of that is, you know, maybe Campbell's learned from his short interim stay in Miami as their head coach with that rah-rah guy. He provides a heck of a soundbite. So, I mean, you talk about films next year, NFL films, you're going to get a lot of that rah-rah stuff. In case he proceeds to do that same thing, you would think, as he looks back, maybe you learn from stuff like that and you don't have that approach as a head coach. You know, you learn by stuff that didn't – basically by your mistakes. You would think as a grown man and a guy who's been in football his whole adult life, basically, would err on the side of caution and maybe change things up a little bit, and maybe that's part and parcel of what happens, because we remember what we hear last of him. But he's doing a decent job down there with New Orleans, so maybe that bodes well in his resume, and things change, coaches change. Belichick did it with Cleveland over in New England. So it could be well as well. But one more thing, front runner for the Chargers, good hire. If it is, in fact, Brian Daboll, if you're a Charger, you go hot and heavy after that guy with what he did with Josh Allen and make him a better player. That would be a great fit in Los Angeles with a dynamite team with a good quarterback.
Yeah, they pulled Anthony Lynn out of Buffalo, and they could pull Brian Daboll out of Buffalo. And I think this is a good fit for the maturation process of Justin Herbert. One thing you can say about Josh Allen and Justin Herbert is very similar body styles and a bit of similar playing styles. And the way he's been able to rein Josh Allen in and improve his completion percentage by like 10% this year and get him to check down. Justin Herbert already does a lot of things as a rookie that Josh Allen didn't do as a rookie. So he's even coming up at a higher point. It's going to be a matter of fixing that defense. And like I say about every other pick, I want to see the staff, see what's going on, who they bring in. If it's somebody from Buffalo, you know, he was at Alabama for a little while. He was here with the Patriots. Like, what is the staff going to look like?
Agree. Yeah, it's interesting, right? Pieces, but he's got the piece in Herbert. And, of course, with young quarterbacks, teams adjust. Defenses have game tape on him now. The all-22s, you learn his tendencies, you learn his weaknesses, and then it's a chess game. and he has to react to defenses reacting to him, and it goes on and on. But, you know, it's been a long time since a rookie quarterback has had that big of an impact. We could have been saying the same thing about Joe Burrow in Cincinnati because he was on that path, if you will. But Herbert's, I mean, you can't have a much better rookie season than he did. It's been a long time. I'd have to look up the stats. But early returns of Mr. Herbert, arrow, three of them pointing upward. No question about it. So I'm looking forward to that, and that's a great gig. L.A., great stadium, dynamite uniforms. You got your guy in the center, and you have pieces there. They've been undercoached for a long time. So I would love that hire, and I hope they do well, even though they're in the Chiefs division. But all right, let's move on, shall we? Again, this is the E2G Sports Podcast. We are the Unsung Sports Grid, if you want to join us on our Divisional Round Weekend Saturday Edition podcast, again at 516-387-1702, 516-387-1702. All right, first game up. Feels like it gets kickoffs about 4:35 p.m. in Green Bay. The Rams, Green Bay, take on the Packers. West team going east. Green Bay, of course, had a bye last week. It's interesting, the thing, you know, and we talked about the Rams last week, buddy, that blood and guts thing. Goff is going to get the start. They didn't catch a night game in Chili Green Bay. It's actually going to be earlier in the day, which may benefit Goff a little bit. But is it all about Aaron Donald today? I don't see him sitting out unless they literally have to put a straitjacket on that dude. I expect him to play. But it's a tall task for this Rams team to go in. But they have the defenses and the pieces. It starts with Davante Adams. That's a matchup with him and Ramsey right off the bat. Your thoughts on what you're seeing with the Rams and Green Bay team and how it might shake out?
Yeah, this is going to be quite interesting because I think the Rams come in. Defense travels. That's something
right.
You always got to remember in the playoffs. Good defenses travel. And it doesn't matter if it's going to be a weather thing, the whole bit. That affects Green Bay too. And you got Jalen Ramsey outside on Adams. He's going to be locked up on him. We've seen what he's done this year as an all-pro, locking down top receivers. This will be a fun matchup. This will be a fun matchup right from the first snap right through. So what's got to happen is the run game really has to pick up. Aaron Jones, Dylan, Jamal Williams. Those guys really have to be difference makers. And they got to slow down Aaron Donald and maybe try to expose the run defense of the Rams, which is very good. But the Rams give them a lot of fits. Every angle I've looked at this, the Rams are going to give them fits. And they're going to give them fits when they have the ball too, because Cam Akers is running the ball well, and they can run the ball pretty good between the tackles. And if Cooper Kupp is a go, I'm hinging my pick on Cooper Kupp. If he's a go, I think the Rams are winning this game. If Cooper Kupp does not play today, I'm going with the Packers. I just think this is a tough matchup for the Packers. And let's be honest, Aaron Rodgers isn't the best postseason quarterback. There's a lot of failures. I mean, outside of having games against Dallas, really, you look back at his history and yeah, he doesn't blow anybody out. Or, you know, it's a lot of head down, and you're watching in the fourth quarter just to see how much he's going to sulk. So that's my pick for today as far as that. I'm curious which way you're going.
Well, right now I'm leaning towards Green Bay, but I think and you made a good point about Rodgers. There's only Super Bowl, I think. Were they a six seed that year they won the Super Bowl? They may have been. You're right. He has a lot of failures in the playoffs. And Akers is going to have a big day today, and he's going to run the ball well, and that's going to really bode well for what you said. It's interesting. It's the first playoff game since the 2011 AFC Championship to feature a player with more receiving TDs than the opposing team allowed, and that's incredible when you think about it. Davante Adams, as a wide receiver, had 18 touchdown receptions. The Rams' defense have allowed to wide receivers only 7 all year long. That's the matchup I see. That's going to be really interesting. And Amari Cooper is the only player this year, while being defended by Jalen Ramsey, to have 50 or more receiving yards, including the playoffs. Which is, it's like, okay, what's going to give here? That's the matchup within the matchup. And Goff is going to be key here too. I'm leaning towards the Rams, but I'm picking Green Bay because of the home field advantage. And I got him here. I think he's really playing well. Jordan Love being drafted that year lit a fire under his butt. I think he's this season could have went one of each way. He gets a little sort of like Brady in his later years, gets a little cantankerous. Chris Bitchy, if you will, for lack of better terms, and he's seen that last year. A little standoffish, his comments, a little egotistical. He's kind of rounded it in this year. And I think Aaron Rodgers looks in the mirror and says, listen, I'm a good quarterback. If I'm going to be great, I need to get to a second Super Bowl and win a second Super Bowl. I think Rodgers will be the difference in a tight game. But I can see this game going either way because my odds at the Rams, just based on what they did last year, last week, in that blood and guts sort of grit and balls victory, two players for the Rams have 90-plus catches in Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, and the only team to do that. Leonard Floyd and Aaron Donald each have double-digit sacks. They've got all the makings to go into Lambeau and upset this team today. They had 53 sacks on the year, the Rams did. Green Bay allowed 21.
Yes, they did. And the offensive line of Green Bay isn't intact. I mean, they add Veldier this week, and he's probably going to start at the blind side. Cooper Kupp's playing, they're winning this game. I may even take him without right. Cooper Kupp, but Cooper Kupp is the thing that puts it over the top for me.
Big loss. Yeah, you pointed out, the blind side, big loss with Bakhtiari out of there, the offensive tackle. That's a huge loss.
Yeah, and they've got a lot of young offensive linemen who maybe step in, but they went out and got a veteran off the streets to fill it in. The guys like John Runyon, who they drafted, I believe, in the fourth round this year, John Runyon Jr., guys like that weren't able to step up and be that left tackle in a playoff game. So it's, the weather, I'd be more of a factor on the weather if it weren't a good defense, if it were a decent defense. But when you have an elite defense coming in, they travel and they play well in cold weather.
No question. And they're well coached.
Oh, yeah, right from the top down. And their defensive coordinator, Brandon Staley, that's the guy that the Detroit Lions should have been after. That's the guy they should have hired. He's just a great piece. He's running the 3-4. He took over for Wade Phillips. We lost Sunchips, so we'll wait for him to come back. But I like how Staley draws it up, how he's using the inside out with Floyd and Donald as pressure, and you got, Sebastian Day in the middle, guys like Greg Gaines who can fill. Should be quite interesting. I really have a good feeling, and they get good safety play too out of the Rams.
Right.
This is a dangerous team. This isn't, just an also ran. I mean, they had some troubles down the stretch and lost to the Jets, but they've been feeding off that loss since then.
Yeah, that was when they lost to the Jets back in week 16, 15, I think. That was which way were they going to go? Was it going to sink them? Was it going to be could they rebound from it? And like, they've done a really good job doing some different things and getting. Jared Goff gets a start today. Blake Bortles is his backup. 35 degrees for what it's worth. Goff had 5 interceptions in 2 career starts below that mark. But it's interesting. Za'Darius Smith goes for his 6th straight at home with a sack. Interesting play today. Can they keep him under wraps? He had 12 and a half all year. 4 fumbles. Big havoc for any offensive line. So that's going to be a battle as well.
Yeah, no, Za'Darius Smith is good off the edge. They got Preston Smith on the other side. The problem I see is I can't get past that NFC Championship game last year. And I think there's part of me that thinks the Rams are going to try to run the ball down their throat to start the game and really test that run defense.
I totally agree. And Cam Akers has been, hitting strides the past 3 or 4 weeks, even until, last week as well. If you can, we've seen it happen a lot. Teams get hot, players get hot. Derrick Henry last year put a surge on. Rams to a Super Bowl. That could be the same thing here. But I'm going with the Rams because I like Green Bay in it.
I put that caveat on it. I put that caveat on it. I want to be able to do that, and we're flexible enough with that. If Cooper Kupp is active, I'm taking the Rams. If he's not active, I'm taking the Packers.
I agree. I like that pick. And Kupp is a game time team with the knee at least. So it's going to be a real interesting inactive or active decision when that does come out. Again, this is the Ear to the Ground Sports Network, the E2G Sports Network. We are the unsung sports grid. He's Buddy Andre, and I'm Johnny Sunchips. In our Saturday edition of the Ear to the Ground Sunday Sports Podcast, we will have one tomorrow. I believe it's going to be me and Mr. Crow. But we'll go on tomorrow to preview the Sunday's games, but we're getting Saturdays for you under wraps as well and talking some stories. If you want to share any thoughts on the NFL weekend, on the NFL playoffs, who you're picking from here on out, we're down to the final eight, the elite eight NFL style, if you will, please do. 516-387-1702, 516-387-1702. We are live at about 10:27 Eastern time on Saturday the 16th of 2021, January 16th, that is. Anyway, moving right along, the nightcap, and it is a nightcap. And it may be, it's arguably the best game on the slate, at least on paper, without the two hot coming in. 8:15 p.m. kickoff in Buffalo. Playoff games in Buffalo in the month of January. The Ravens riding a 6-7 game win streak. Come into the Bills riding a 7-game, it's 6 out of, I think it's 6-game win streak, 7 out of the last 8. Two teams really playing well at the right time. First postseason meeting, Buddy. This is the 10th instance of two teams on at least a 6-game win streak to meet in the playoffs, excluding Super Bowls. The home team is 8-1 in the previous 9. How does it shake down today? Because, you know, Baltimore's on a streak, dangerous team. We talked about that as well. But a lot of pundits are picking the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills may come into this game as a 2-seed with a little chip on their shoulder. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, this is one of those styles make fights. This is going to be interesting. Quick message sent to me. Sorry about that. Early on in the year, if you go back to when your Chiefs beat them and when Tennessee beat them and the Patriots came close to beating them, it was the run game. You run on Buffalo. And I think that's the philosophy they're going to have with Lamar Jackson. They're going to have to really contain the edges, not allow Gus the Bus and J.K. Dobbins and Justin Hill to get going in their carries. I think they can shorten this game. I think not only shorten it, but put up points. Like, you know, there's, you know, hey, we had a 5-minute drive. We still punted. We got 3 first downs. But we took the ball air out of the ball for a little while. They have the ability to take the air out of the ball, but also score at the same time. And that's what's dangerous about this. About this Ravens team right now. They're playing with house money. They're playing physical on both sides of the ball. And then I look at the other side and realize Josh Allen can go 3 plays, 75 yards, minute 12, and put them in the end zone, and we're 7-7. So this is a real interesting game. It's going to come down to which defense gets a stop at the end of the game. And I would feel so much better for Buffalo if the weather didn't favor the Ravens, because we're supposed to get snow, and that usually favors the team that can run.
Right.
So I am begrudgingly taking the Ravens tonight. And I think it's a down to the end, Justin Tucker game-winning field goal in the snow to win it.
Certainly conceivable. I'm asking you this question because we talked about, you know, Lamar Jackson and what he's kind of gotten back to what he does best. And they've kind of rode his success in the previous years, give him the ball, run more, a little more often instead of forcing him to pass or kind of make him a passer, if you will. And that's just my opinion. I've been saying that at least at the beginning of the year. They're back at what they do best and their identity with him. Can they survive today in Buffalo by him doing what he's been doing and reeling off these wins and seeing the Lamar Jackson we saw last year on the way to that MVP award, or is he going to have to do something? Can Buffalo make him a passer today and make him win the game passing more so with his legs?
I think they're going to have a hard time making him a passer. And Buffalo has a good collection. I've said this all year about them. They've got a good collection of defensive linemen who they can rotate and do a lot of different things. And this guy, you know, Ed Oliver is a good rusher from the three technique. And this is a game where they got to find their best run defenders, get them on the field, hope Tremaine Edmonds can make those tackles in the middle of the field and try to go big, maybe a 51 defense, funnel it all in. The same plan I had with Tennessee last year, funnel it in to Tremaine Edmonds, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, to make those tackles up around the line of scrimmage and really hope Tre'Davious White can just lock down on the outside, that it's not even a worry of throwing the ball outside the numbers. That's where I think this game gets won, is if the Buffalo defense can go out there and put maybe five defensive linemen on the field with a linebacker and go from there and play off their strong play of their back six, I think they can, you know, they can win this game. But I don't see them slowing down the Baltimore run game. I just don't. It's hitting on all cylinders. The NFL adjusted to them, and they've made their adjustment back. And it looks like they're going to be really tough to stop.
And for a defense in Baltimore that's only allowed 200-plus yard receivers all year, Beasley's a little up on Diggs, even though he has the what's going to break there? Because, I mean, you're looking at a Baltimore team that's defensively playing with a lot of swag. And, you know, if Diggs and Beasley can't get their catches, it may come down to their running game on Allen. To win this, and can you see a guy like Diggs going off today? Depending on what happens, and is it a run first? Is Buffalo going to come out and try and run the ball to establish a pass, or are they going to just try and spread it out first? You know what I'm saying? What's going to break there?
I think the loss of Zach Moss is huge. I can't overemphasize, and he's a cold weather back more than Devin Singletary is. Devin Singletary is more of your elusive non home run hitter. Catch the ball out of the backfield. Zach Moss is your physical between the tackles. And don't forget, you have a quarterback who can also run on that side of the ball too. So that's another reason why I'm taking the Ravens, is the loss of Zach Moss. You know, that physical presence, because if it starts getting that lake effect snow up there, game is going to be one that's fun to watch, but also tough to play.
Right.
So we got to see what happens. The weather is going to be a huge factor in this, but everything points Ravens to me. As much as I want the Bills to win, everything points Ravens to me. And that the way that front line is playing and putting pressure, Campbell, Wolf, those guys, Judon, they're going to be able to get some pressure on Josh Allen, and they can cover up really well in that back end. So, again, Justin Tucker, game-winning field goal at the end. Baltimore by three.
And you mentioned the defense getting pressure on Allen, and you have Derek Wolf, a sack in three of his last four postseason games. So that's a guy you got to watch out for to put pressure. But Josh Allen, 5-0 versus his top 10 total defenses this season. That'd be the Rams, Chargers, 49ers, Pittsburgh, and Indianapolis. So he's been able to get it done, at least thus far. So that's another stat that, you know, is it a trend going on? Is he just – I mean, his confidence level has to be high now, and I wonder if it's, you know, with Daboll and just finding ways to get it done, can they get it done today against that real heady Baltimore team? And, you know, when you talk about this game and even the Rams-Green Bay game, more so this game here, it may come down to the team that does not make the critical mistake at the critical time, and that's how close this game seems to me. I like Buffalo in a three-point game late in the fourth quarter. It's just, and again, I'm said these both of these games that I can see going either way with a couple of different plays. I mean, I hope it doesn't come down to the yellow flags or crazy penalties, but two disciplined teams in here in Baltimore and Buffalo fighting it out till the end. This is real good theater written all over it in Buffalo, and I'm happy for them. And I think they're going to move on. I'd like the Bills to to win tonight in a close three-point contest. But this is it's a great slate. I mean, all these games, even including tomorrow, you can't really say. How it's going to break. I mean, you're not going to be on tomorrow. Anyway, he's Buddy Andrade. I'm Johnny Sanchez. This is the E2G Sports Network, and this is the Saturday edition of our Ear to the Ground Sports Podcast Divisional Round Action in the NFL. We are the Unsung Sports Grid. 516-387-1702. 516-387-1702. If you want to talk some football. And the Ravens are 11-6 on the road in the playoffs. The only team with a winning record in NFL history on the road. Lots of pluses for that team. So, buddy,
yeah,
I know you're not going to be on tomorrow. Go ahead.
They're never intimidated. That's one thing about that team.
Right. There's a pedigree. There's an attitude they instilled, and it's a culture there. It's definitely a culture. We're not going to talk tomorrow. Do you want to give your picks for tomorrow's action?
Yeah, I'm going to go Chiefs New Orleans tomorrow.
Okay. Now, you did say Cleveland can run on Kansas City. I know that's a big. They're 10-point underdogs. But Cleveland. If they can establish a run, they can at least keep this game close, right?
Yeah, they can. They can keep it close, but the other problem is they really hold on at the end of games. So they don't put teams away as good as that run game is. They kind of did last week, but we saw the game at Dallas earlier in the year, at Tennessee, big leads, and they let teams back in those middle quarters. They got to learn how to be more aggressive in those middle quarters to really stretch that lead rather than giving it up.
Okay, agree. Tampa Bay at New Orleans. You like the Saints?
I like the
third
Saints.
Third charm.
Great defense.
Agree.
I don't know how they're blocking up Cam Jordan and those guys up front. Hendrickson's playing. They really kicked the snot out of that team, that game in Tampa Bay. And I think they're going to go 3-for-3 against them this.
And, you know, and that happens. People say, well, it's tough to beat a team three times. Well, you know what? It's happened like almost 68% of the time when a team plays the third game, they win all three. So it's not as common. It's not that hard as it is. And historically, New Orleans has always been a bad matchup for Brady.
Yeah, no, it's been a tough matchup, and with the way that defense plays now, it's just a tough matchup. They can go across the board. You got Jenkins, Marshawn Lattimore, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Malcolm Jenkins. The other one is Janoris Jenkins, the first Jenkins I mentioned. There's a lot of guys who have that ability to cover. Malcolm Jenkins can take out the tight end. And they can play over the top. And Demario Davis is kind of a guy who can help in coverage and also blitz. And they're just – the offensive line for the Buccaneers is not that good. And when the line play is the biggest part of the postseason, ask the 18-0 Patriots.
No question. Prime example. Right there. I'll give make my picks tomorrow, but I'm obviously leaning towards New Orleans and Kansas City, but I'll break it down a little bit with Jason tomorrow. But, you had a 6 seed advance to the championship game last year in Tennessee. You have 2 number 6 seeds today in Cleveland and Baltimore. No, Cleveland and
the Rams,
I think, right?
The Rams are the 6 seed, yeah.
Right. So it should be interesting. I'm looking forward to the slate, man. I have nothing else to say, man. We've pretty much covered it.
Yeah, no. What we wanted to give you probably about a 40 to 45 minute show. So this was good. Get you prepared for the game day. Enjoy the games, folks. It is, we're getting down to the nitty gritty here. And all COVID tests came back negative this morning, so all games are on this weekend.
Nice. Love it. Beautiful. Wouldn't have it any other way. All right, that's going to do it. It's been great chatting with you guys. I hope you listen to our podcast, and we appreciate everyone who listens as well. Again, this is the Ear to the Ground Sports Podcast. We're here for you every Sunday, shows during the week. Wednesday we have shows. Keep in touch. We've got a lot more stuff going on as the basketball season ramps up, hockey and baseball come into focus as well. But for now, we're going to keep bringing the football to you every weekend as well, and we'll probably be with our boy Jarvis King at some point this week, more than likely on Tuesday. But keep in touch on the E2G Sports Network. We are the unsung sports grid. Please, again, keep this number in your contacts on your cell phones, 516-387-1702. For Buddy Andre, Johnny Sunchip, this has been the Unsung Sports Grid. Enjoy your Saturday Divisional NFL Weekend Round 1. Take care, everyone. Be well, be safe, and enjoy.